All right, good morning. This morning's scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests humans who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your love and for your care, for your grace, for forgiveness of sins, for the opportunity to lift up our voices in worship. Thank you for your word that speaks to us even this day. May your spirit open our hearts and our minds to truly receive your message and the wonder of it this morning. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Billy Graham, of course, was a famous evangelist, but he was also a friend of presidents. And he had friendships with presidents, many of them, beginning with Harry Truman. And many of the presidents who invited him to the White House later acknowledged with appreciation the friendship, but also the counsel they received from him. Because for some, he was like the White House chaplain, or the White House priest. And I guess when you're president of the United States, you get to have your own personal pastor. And Billy Graham often functioned in a pastoral way when he was at the White House. And it's interesting that even Pope Francis of the Catholic Church, as a personal confessor, he said that priests and bishops too have to go to confession. Because you see, we're all sinners. And even the Pope confesses every 15 days because the Pope is also a sinner. I mean, I need to confess my sins every time I pray, but I guess if you're the Pope, you can do it every 15 days or so. But in any case, Pope Francis says, the confessor hears what I tell him. He counsels me and forgives me because we're all in need of this forgiveness. So in the Bible, we see that King David had a personal priest. It says, and Ira, a descendant of Jair, was David's personal priest. Now, here's the thing. I mean, it's not uncommon in our culture to have a personal somebody who performs some kind of personal service for you. We're accustomed to hiring people to perform personal tasks. Some people are real serious about getting trim and fit, and so they will hire a personal trainer. Or to get life advice, you might hire a personal coach. Personal shoppers who help people with shopping are now very common, as you know. Some of you have a lawn guy or a snowplow guy. Some people, you know, have someone who walks their dogs for them. So you get the idea. It's not unusual these days for people to hire others to assist them in certain ways. So this passage, and by the way, Hebrews is a very deep theological book. And so this passage in Hebrews refers to a very personal service, a very specialized service. It talks about the service of a high priest. It gives us the message that we actually have a personal priest. I don't know if you've ever realized this, but you have a personal priest. And that's not me, because what we see in this passage is the very cool idea that Jesus Christ is our personal priest. And what this personal priest has to offer is nothing short of amazing. So let me tell you a little bit more about him this morning. He's willing to take on several roles as he shares his life with you. For example, he regards you as his friends. He says, and if you are my friends if you obey me. He calls those who obey him and believe in him his friends. And he also sees himself as a shepherd, the good shepherd. And as our friend and shepherd, he's made certain commitments to us, to stay with us, to never leave us, even to lay down his life for us. He says in John, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Yes, he's willing to lay down his life for you. That's what the good shepherd is all about, putting his own life at risk for the sake of the flock. But wait a minute, didn't he do that? Yeah, he did do that, right? He did lay down his life. He did give his life at the cross. Because you see, Jesus' death on the cross was really a priestly action. Because at the cross, Jesus offers the sacrifice for sin. And that's what priests do. It's the function and the duty of a priest to offer a sacrifice for sin. But Jesus not only offers any sacrifice for sin, he offers himself as the sacrifice itself. Now remember, he's divine, okay? He's God's son. So he's got the power to do it. He voluntarily offers himself as a sacrifice for sin. Not only for you, but for everyone. He's got that kind of power to save the world from sin. And yet his power is personal, and the impact of his priestly work is immediate. So you see, he's God's son, he's God himself, but he's also human. And so he knows you inside and out. If you're going to have someone travel the road of life with you, it helps if that person is connected with you. If that person knows you and knows your story and your history, because it just makes life easier. But here's the thing. Jesus not only knows us, he's one of us. He's human. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And he not only helps us with a problem, he helps us to resolve the problem, helps us to admit it and quit it and forget it. And so why is this important? Why is it important that he's human as well as divine? It is his humanity that qualifies Jesus, the priest, to offer Jesus the sacrifice for sin. If he was only divine, then he really could not do the sacrifice part, because God's justice demands that if humanity sins, humanity must pay the price. But let me explain this a little bit further. In the days of priests in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the law required that a priest first offer a sacrifice for his own sins before he could offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. So first the priest washed his hands and feet. Then he would clothe himself in gleaming white linen. And then servants brought a bull that the priest himself had purchased. And placing his hands on the animal's head, he transferred his sins onto the bull while offering a prayer of confession. Something like, "O Lord God, I've committed iniquity, I've transgressed, I've sinned, I and my house. O Lord, I beseech thee, cover over the sins and transgressions which I have committed, transgressed and sinned before you, I and my house." And then he would sacrifice the bull for his sins and for the sins of the people. Jesus didn't offer a confession when he gave his life. Why? Because he had nothing he needed to confess. He was sinless, and so he was the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. It says Jesus is the high priest we need. He's holy and innocent and faultless, and not at all like us sinners. Jesus is honored above all beings in heaven and is better than any other high priest. Jesus doesn't need to offer sacrifices each day for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He offered a sacrifice once for all when he gave himself. Let me tell you something else about your personal priest. He is immortal. He's not going to die on you again. He died once, and that's it. It says in verse 23, "There have been a lot of other priests, and all of them have died." So the earthly priests of the Old Testament, they were only human. And because they were human, they died, and they never came back to life. And so they had to be replaced. When the priest died, another fallible human being took his place. Because they were human, they sinned. Because they sinned, they had to offer offerings for their own sins, on and on, as well as the sins of the people. And so we need a different priest. We need Jesus. But Jesus, it says, will never die. And so he'll be a priest forever. He's forever able to save the people he leads to God because he always lives to speak to God for them. So Jesus lives forever to intercede for us before a holy God. And that's what priests do. And our priest is personal. He acts as your intermediary. He acts as your intercessor between you and God. And he's not only our priest, but he's our Savior. Because any penalties we owe, he paid for us. And I love the Message paraphrase of this verse 25. It says, "He's there from now to eternity to save everyone who comes to God through him. Always on the job to speak up for them." He's forever there to save the people he leads to God. Because he always lives to speak to God for them. To put it really simple and straightforward. Because Jesus is our personal priest, he has our backs. We're in trouble. Our personal high priest says, "Hey, I got this. Wait here. Let me take care of it." I mean, as your pastor, I'm present with you. I'm trying to walk alongside you. I baptize your children. I bury your loved ones. I preach the word. I listen to what's going on in your lives. I try to support and encourage you. I visit you in the hospital. I pray for you. I remind you that you're part of Christ's body and that you have responsibilities as a result of it. I provide leadership. I play guitar and I invite you to an open house and try to show hospitality and I tell a joke every now and then. And I'm trying to faithfully point you on a path that hopefully draws you closer to God. But in the end, I'm just a human being as well. And I, just like any other pastor or priest or pope, am in need of a high priest myself. So I'm in need of Jesus too. And so I need to ask myself, what is my relationship with this amazing priest? And you need to ask yourself that very same question. What is my relationship with this amazing priest? I want to share just a few short things with you about this relationship, what it should be like. First, it should be a relationship of trust. If you cannot trust the one in whom you confide, how long do you think that relationship will last? Now, do you think you can trust Jesus? I believe you can trust him with your life. I believe you can trust him enough to put your eternal destiny into his hands. So build a relationship of trust with your personal priest. Second, it should be an ongoing relationship. Your relationship with Jesus cannot be an on and off thing, an on and off relationship. You can't only confer with Jesus when you're in crisis. For a relationship to grow, interaction should happen often. So get to know him daily. Read his word. Talk to him in prayer. Don't neglect his relationship. Check in with him regularly. Thank him, praise him, share him, worship him. And your relationship with Jesus, the high priest, should also be a relationship that acknowledges the different roles. In this relationship, you need to remember that you are the humble penitent. Jesus is Lord and advocate. You are the sinner. Jesus is the Savior. And the amazing thing is that you have constant access to your personal priest. You can get a meeting with him at any time. He's always available for you. You have immediate access. And so you should never hesitate to consult your personal priest. And finally, did you know that when I say finally, everybody perks up? Did you know that? It's an old trick. If you want to emphasize something, just say finally. And finally, you should follow the counsel of your confessor. You should heed the advice that Jesus gives you. What is the point of having an advisor if you refuse to follow his advice? And so you need to live according to his word and you need to follow his way. And by the way, you don't need to impress him. You can be yourself. I mean, it's okay. He knows everything about you in any case. So please don't feel you need to impress him or you need to put up a false front. He already knows the absolute worst there is to know about you. And the incredible thing is, he still loves you. Loves you unconditionally. But God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. So here's what you need to remember today, if nothing else. You don't have to be rich and famous to have a personal priest. It's not a luxury. It's not a perk reserved for presidents. You and me, we all have a very personal priest. Someone who was human like us, someone who was tempted like us, someone who knew what it was like to suffer like us, someone who died for us, someone who loved us enough to offer his own sinless life as a sacrifice for our sins. But he's also a priest who's alive and well, and death can never again touch him. And you can trust him with every part of your life. He's always there for you to guide you and intercede for you and to forgive you, to show you his amazing grace. Yes, he is Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your word, and thank you for Jesus, who is our intercessor. He gave himself up for us and for our sins. He was always there for us. He offered the sacrifice of himself once for all for the sin of the world. And all we need to do is receive this gift. May your Spirit enable us to foster and treasure and deepen our relationship with your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.